Rocanjo with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Right here, 720 WGN. Steve Stone joins us, being brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
Yeah, I went to Bub City today. I could not stay away from the mac and cheese. It was awfully good.
There you go. It is very,
gotta
very good
that.
There. Although I got the brisket. You know, brisket is a tricky
is
a tricky deal. You got to get it right. And a barbecue brisket is when you get it, when you find it in a place that you just totally fall in love with it, don't ever give that up. Don't ever give that up. And Bub City is one of those places.
It's tough to make. It is very tough to make.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz you can get it wrong and it just ain't right. But
you go too long, it dries it out. You go too short, it's like you're chewing on a shoe.
Yeah.
It's a tough cut of meat to smoke.
Hey, all right, I got to ask you a question here. This is really quite a moment. So Eloy Jimenez gets taken out of the Charlotte lineup, and the Twitterverse and Sox fans go insane thinking, hey, they're bringing him up, they're bringing him up, they're bringing him up. The excitement over this, it's got to be, you know, in a moment in a franchise where, you know, everybody's sort of, everything's on the come here, to have that kind of excitement about him. And I'm starting to see those Charlotte hats here. The CLT, that like the Sox, S-O-X, the, you know, the big block 1970s Sox logo, but it's CLT.
Well, NBC Sports started airing their games the past 2 years because there's so much excitement in the farm system. Sox fans want to see what's going on down in the farm.
And this is a very fun moment, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt that he's going to come up here. He's going to be a star. I don't know if it's going to be today. We haven't heard anything. So, it'll be when it is. Nobody wants to put a timetable on it, certainly not the organization. But, yeah, I look forward to seeing him. I mean, from what I've seen in just the early going, he's quite a specimen.
378 in AAA in his first year up there. His first month, 2 months, right? He went up to AAA one in June, right? Beginning of June?
It's really amazing because they kept on saying, and by they, I mean the White Sox organization kept on saying, we want to see him get to AAA before we even think about what to do. Well, he is there, and he's tearing up AAA just exactly as he tore up every other league that he was in. So he hasn't found anything yet to stop him from hitting. And just watching him hit, I don't think he's going to find anything even up here that's going to stop him from hitting.
Okay.
He's not going to hit 378, but he's going to be really good.
Okay, let me ask you this. As if, you know, obviously, there's no better eye, really, than yours in baseball for something like this. What is it? What is his secret sauce? What does he have that sets him apart?
Tremendous plate coverage. He's very strong, and he doesn't seem to overswing. He's got a really good idea about what to do with the ball regardless of where it's pitched and who's pitching to him or what they're throwing. And the ability at a very young age to determine that is very rare, and he has it. And that's why in watching him, I think he's going to hit at any level. I don't think there's any pitches that he can't handle. I just think the guys will be more consistent up here. They'll throw him, you know, very good pitches a lot. He might only get one pitch in at bat to hit, and if he hits it, that's good. If he doesn't, he won't get another one, and that's going to separate him down there from him up here. It's just the quality of the pitchers. I just don't think he's going to have that many difficulties. I'm not telling you he's going to be Mike Trout when he steps in, but he's going to be able to hit with just about anybody. I believe that he could win a batting title.
It'd be really fun to see him play against the Cubs in that, the second to last week of the season? The Cubs are.
Yeah, that's the end of September. Yeah, but it would be really nice, and obviously the rosters will have been expanded at that point, so there is the opportunity to do that. And, you know, when you see what he can do, it's going to be pretty special. He's a special kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fun to watch this kind of reaction to him, and when, you know, Luis Robert has to get healthy and all of that. I mean, there are so many fun players, field position players that are going to be on this roster next season, and, you know, maybe not an opening day, but by the middle of next season, it's really going to be interesting. And then 2020, it's up, I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Book your World Series tickets right now.
Will do.
It's going to be
a Subway Series. You could have, I mean, you know, the Cubs are going to be coming out of their window here, their championship window in about 2020. Sox entering, I say Subway Series 2020. I'm already putting it on Airbnb.
Oh, good. You're going to buy a property around the White Sox Park and
yes.
Go ahead.
I mean, if the Cubs can win the World Series, the Cubs and White Sox could meet in the World Series. I could see that happening.
Yeah, it could happen. Am I ahead of myself, Steve?
Well, I think it's certainly something to aspire to. I'd like to see a few of the youngsters up before I can exactly envision who's going to be here. I do know one thing,
yeah.
That the current roster, as it's situated at this point, is not going to look anything like what it's going to look in 2020. There's going to be a lot of changes, boys and girls.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very exciting time for the White Sox in the years coming up.
Steve, the waiver trade deadline is at the end of the month. The non-waiver one is what everybody talks about, which just passed July 31st. You think the White Sox will still make some moves here over the next few weeks, whether it's James Shields or maybe a bullpen arm? Do you think Rincon will be busy making trades?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they've already passed a few of the guys they would think about moving through waivers. You're always surprised every year at just how many guys get through waivers. But, you know, there's contracts that other teams don't want to be obligated to, and so they won't claim them. They'll just wait to see exactly what happens and make a deal once a guy has cleared waivers. And so, yeah, I would think the Sox would be in the market. Again, I thought they would have been in the market for something before the deadline, but apparently they couldn't find anything to their liking, and they weren't just going to give away players to give them away. That doesn't make any sense. So I think we'll probably see a couple of deals to be made. I think there was one made already. That was a substantial deal. It eludes me. I can't remember exactly who went, but obviously, they were able to get waivers on whoever it is that was traded.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's exciting. The New York Yankees are in town. That's always a draw, right? I mean, people want to see it's just great to see that laundry on the field together, right? White Sox and Yankees, that storied. It goes, you know, that those are two teams that have played each other for 100 years. So this is really, it's fun. They're not the Yankees necessarily of old, but I do have this. I have this question: is it a national law or a baseball law, federal law or baseball law, that when the Yankees play the Red Sox, it's required to be on ESPN? Is there something
or
that
four
I
four and a half hours long?
Is there something I don't know about that? It's sort of like every time you turn on ESPN, they go tonight. Yankees Red Sox, and it's like
a rivalry.
It's like in February, and you hear that. I don't understand what goes on.
Well, they're actually showing the Yankees again. This game is nationally on ESPN. It does not preclude the local broadcast, but ESPN is doing this again. It's Eduardo Perez and Carl Ravitch is here at the ballpark. They're going to do the game, and so the boys who can't possibly get enough of those Yankees or Red Sox, ESPN boys, they got them on yet again. And a little of the luster might be taken off this one as the Yankees find themselves 9.5 back after getting swept by Boston. So.
Yeah.
Boston's pretty comfortable right now. I think the Yankees are sitting there, and they've got to turn things around. Now, they haven't played particularly well without Aaron Judge. That's been a big factor. So we'll see tonight just exactly what they have in them. But at 9.5 back, it kind of takes a lot of the interdivisional drama and kind of sets that on the back burner somewhat.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's because Bristol, Connecticut, where ESPN is headquartered, is halfway between New York and Boston, and so there are only allowed a certain amount of miles to move the truck back and forth. And they go, "Oh, we're just going to do this."
Perfect.
And they apparently play each other more than any two teams in any other sport in the world. Those two teams. I don't know what Major League Baseball did. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Steve Stone. Well, have a good rest of the show, and we'll talk to you guys down the road.
Thanks, Steve.
Right, there he is, Steve Stone.
Yeah. Saw Steve last week at that golf outing where I was Rokan and you weren't actually there.
And I was not there. Yeah.
And I just did the Rokan thing where I just said, how about let us entertain you, right when I walked up to him. And Kevin, that Bub City.
Did he say, try the crab cakes at Shaw's? They're the best.
I kind of caught him off guard. I just went right into the whole bit with him.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And he went into it.
And it's funny because you just see him in there. I mean, there's places you see him.
Oh, yeah. If genuine loves it.
Yeah.
And that's what's not to love?
Right.
Yeah, we talked food. That's really all. I thought I was going to talk baseball with him. He and I just talked about lettuce entertaining restaurants for about 10 minutes.
While you were riding around in the Rokan designated golf cart with the general manager of the station or the president of the entire network.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Ro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Taking one for the team, Kevin.
Yeah. I had to give up a whole on-air shift for that and play golf at Beverly. It was tough, guys.
Acts of self-sacrifice. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to do team.
Right, I'm like, and I'm asking questions like, where's Kevin? Where's Kevin? Oh, he's playing golf in that tournament. What tournament? Oh, the one you were supposed to be in. What do you mean I was supposed to be in it?
Every table I checked in at, I'm Kevin. I mean, Rokan, because like we don't have a Kevin Powell in the system here.
Don't worry about it. I'll take the Rokan position.
I'll be Rokan. That works. That works just fine.
Wait, the football player or the guy on the radio? Which one?
Football player wouldn't have been.
The one who signed the contract.
Did they sign him yet? Has he signed
yet? Not signed yet.
All right. No. He's not going to go to Bourbonnais.
He'll probably just miss all of Bourbonnais.
I'm kind of worried about this.
Yeah, it's the last week of camp for a training camp for the Bears.
Is that okay for a rookie just to sort of miss camp?
No, you don't see this a lot, especially in a position like that where there's a whole lot to digest and learn at the middle linebacker position. So,
Right, Fangio doesn't run a simple defense.
No, not at all. And no matter what defense you're in, if you're the middle linebacker, you're the quarterback of the defense. Now, Danny Trevathan's the veteran. He'll probably handle most of that, but still, you have that obligation when you're a middle linebacker to know where everybody is supposed to be at all times.
Yeah.
I think it's that part, the X's and O's more than anything, rather than the physical part of it.
And, you know, I was with him. I was with Rokan while they were talking about they were negotiating the issue of having on the field penalties based on rule changes make a difference in his contract.
And guaranteed money and things like that.
I understood that.
Yeah. Right.
Because the rules have changed.
Right.
We all agree, all of us agree that the NFL, their application of the rules can be, at this moment, it's a great mystery to us.
What is a catch?
Right. We don't, and so they're kind of working on that, so that shouldn't be on the player. But once the Bears stipulated to that, and said, okay, fine.
They conceded on that.
They conceded that point. Then his agent said, well, what about off the field stuff like nightclubs? Yeah. You know, could he lose his job for that? And I get, no, yes, he can. And that should be highly enforced by the teams because that's where you see a lot of guys losing their careers.
Some of the
greats almost lost their careers, right?
Remember when Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg with a gun?
Yes.
In a nightclub. Yeah.
In New York nightclub. Yeah. off the field stuff's much. Yeah, when it's coming to the NFL rules, as you said, Ro, nobody even knows. It's tough to figure out what's right and wrong with a lot of these NFL rules. But off the field, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right. I mean,
that's different. Very different. So,
remember Plaxico Burress's excuse for that was that his waistband wasn't tight enough and the gun slipped.
It slipped. Shot him in the leg. And he missed like a whole, I think it was during training camp.
Yeah.
I think he missed the
clean break, though. That was the good news.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, so it was.
Skin through the leg.
Right through. So he
I don't
was
think
able
he missed
to,
any games.
Yeah, no, he did.
Did he miss games?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But he was. But he could come back the following season. Although I like that Pierre Paul guy who blew his fingers off with fireworks
with the July accident.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh! Yeah. And didn't he go on? He still went on to play.
He played well. Yeah, he missed a significant time.
But now he's got a club on one hand,
right?
The NFL doesn't like you dropping your helmet, but they let you wear a club like it's Game of Thrones.
Wait, wasn't that the days of like Deacon Jones and Dick Butkus when guys were like making their forearms into clubs and whacking people inside?
Yeah, they actually put a cast on their arm, like they had their broken arm.
Plated cast. Yeah.
Maybe he really didn't blow off his fingers. It was all just a ploy to play with the club.
Oh, I think so. We saw the pictures. Oh, God.
I did not. Yeah. Oh,
don't Google
didn't.
It.
No. All right, let's check in now with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
The price of being popular. Three Chicago neighborhoods consider rent control.
Violetta?